Welcome to the Brilliant Business Moms Podcast, episode 79, with Sarah Kornack and Beth Ann Schwamberger. Today on the show, we're talking with Beth Newitt, owner of the Etsy shop Handcrafted Affairs, where she makes personalized hangers for weddings or children. You'll have to check it out. Beth has lots of great information for Etsy sellers, but she also shares a ton of information with us about Instagram. Beth is using Instagram to not only get exposure, but to drive sales. You won't want to miss all of her great Instagram advice. So let's get started.
You're listening to the Brilliant Business Moms Podcast, practical business advice for startup moms.
Today on the podcast, we are so excited to welcome Beth Newitt of Handcrafted Affairs. Beth has had her Etsy shop since 2011, and it started after she was engaged and created a beautiful custom wedding hanger for herself, and that turned into an entire business, and she's now had over 6,000 sales on Etsy of her beautiful custom hangers, and we'll certainly have photos of those in our show notes for all of you to see. And in addition to that, Beth has really been killing it on Instagram. She has almost 5,000 followers there, so we're going to dig into that as well. And then Beth's newest venture is a Store Envy shop, and she's actually branched out and sells adorable leather cuff bracelets for moms and their little girls, as well as some other super cute products. So we're excited to chat with Beth today. Oh, and one more thing, Beth lives in Las Vegas, Nevada with her husband, Jason, and their little girl, Maeve. So welcome, Beth.
Thank you.
Beth, could you begin by telling us a little bit more about yourself, your family, and then how you got started with your business?
Sure. Well, my husband and I actually are both work for ourselves artist types. My husband is a traditional artist, actually a painter, but he also has an Etsy shop. And we live here in Las Vegas with our daughter and work from home, which has been so amazing. So after I got engaged, I decided I wanted a totally unique, non-cookie-cutter wedding and went into serious DIY mode. It was kind of at the beginning of Pinterest, for me anyway, I think it existed before, and came across some personalized hangers with the name spelled out to hang your wedding dress on, and also some hair accessories, and decided that I was going to do everything by myself, which was probably crazy, but I had so much fun doing it, and everybody that I showed was so in love that I decided, hey, why don't I try and sell this? So I got onto Etsy and just kind of snowballed from there, and I had a lot of success. It's been really exciting.
Great. So Beth, you've had a lot of success with your Etsy shop, and I'm curious, in those early days of setting up your shop, how were you able to grow it and get those first sales?
Well, actually, I was kind of a crazy research nerd and used the Etsy forums with all their SEO information and sort of figured out early on that the way Etsy's search algorithms work, it's the more views you have and favorites and sales, the more you get shown to potential customers. So I decided to kind of go on, since my things are more wedding-centric, I went on to a bunch of wedding blogs, which I was kind of already on because I was planning my own wedding, and offered discounts to other brides and had them go to my Etsy shop, and I gave them great pricing. I kind of probably lost some money in the beginning, and really encouraged people to leave me feedback and reviews. And once I started getting a few sales, it's like those first couple sales on Etsy are the toughest for a number of reasons, because you're not showing up as much in search, as well as potential customers sometimes are hesitant to purchase anything from a shop that has zero or very few sales. So by kind of reaching out to my fellow bride-to-bes and giving them a really good price, I got a lot of those initial sales that way, which kind of was also a great experience for me in terms of getting the feedback on the forums, how they felt about the product, and kind of learning how the customer service aspect of it worked, because brides can be a little bit crazy. That's kind of how I got started with my Etsy shop and growing the sales. And then once that happened and I had my first few sales and I started getting some positive reviews, then I think that in combination with really trying to use the best Etsy search engine optimization that I could with tags and titles and descriptions, that's really kind of how that was my beginning, and it kind of grew from there.
You mentioned working with brides, and I would imagine that it could be tough to stay organized and on top of all of the custom elements of what you're doing. Do you have a trick for, you know, making sure you get it all right with what the customer wants and staying on top of your orders in that way?
Well, I don't know how other people on Etsy do it, but for me personally, I don't like to just use the Etsy receipts for my orders because everything is totally custom. So, I mean, my spreadsheet is my best friend, and I have the name and how it should be customized and the color and any notes in terms of if it's needed by a specific date, if I need to add a gift note, because a lot of people send these as gifts. And that really helps me keep everything organized. I have color codes for if something needs to go out in a week instead of my normal turnaround, which is 1 to 2 weeks. If it needs to go out in a couple of days, I use green. So, I mean, I have my own little system that has really worked for me. It is hard to keep everything organized sometimes, but I find the spreadsheet instead of using the actual Etsy receipts is very helpful for me.
That sounds like a great way to keep everything organized and, like you said, too, prioritizing by when that order needs to be fulfilled as well. So, Beth, you mentioned in your early days that you partnered with blogs in a lot of ways to get the word out about your custom hangers. Is partnering with blogs still a big part of your strategy or not so much anymore?
I definitely still utilize blogs, but I've been more focused on doing it via Instagram, partnering with bloggers who have big Instagram followings, and not necessarily offering super low pricing, but I definitely have offered coupon codes and have collaborated and sent product to bloggers to then review, which has been extremely useful, I feel, because you get your product out there to eyes that may have not seen it otherwise. And it's totally worth it to me to send some product and, you know, have that exposure. I've been approached by a lot of blogs for paid advertising, and I tried that once or twice back when I first started out, and I just don't really feel like that's worked for me in terms of having a banner ad. Personally, I never saw any kind of return click-through wise. For me, it's much better to have a photo of my item and a personal relationship with the item, somebody saying, hey, here's my wedding dress hanging on this awesome hanger, and then that sort of a thing has been much more useful in terms of creating new customers as opposed to strict blog advertising in a banner ad type of format.
I did notice on your Instagram account lots of beautiful collages or pictures that did incorporate your hangers from other bloggers, and they're beautiful pictures. So how, like, did these bloggers find you, or you found them, or, you know, how did you decide to send the hanger to that particular blogger?
Well, it's happened in a few different ways, and it's kind of what I love about Instagram right now. I'm a little bit obsessed. It's been just such a great tool for my business. The thing I love about Instagram is that I have found this whole network and community of other shop owners and moms and entrepreneurs and bloggers. And basically, I reached out when I first got on Instagram. The first thing I did was find other shop owners, small shops, bloggers, lifestyle guru types that I admired and followed them. And I honestly sent out cold messages to about 10 at first that I really liked and said, I really admire your shop, or I really admire your blog. This is my name. This is what I do. I would love to send you some product if you'd be interested. And I think the reason that it worked, and I mean, there was definitely a couple of people that did not respond, but for the most part, I got resounding, yes, we would love if you would send us a hanger and please personalize it with this and we'll take photos and tag you, was because it was genuine and I found shops that I really did like and bloggers that I really did admire. So it was coming from an honest place, and I feel like those other shops and bloggers could sense that and also wanted to work. They also wanted to work with a new shop. So I went ahead and sent out some product to about, I would say, 5 to 7 shops and bloggers. And then they just started using my hangers in their photos. And so all of their followers started to see my items and kind of correlate my items with these other more well-known shops and bloggers. And that's kind of how it took off. From there, I just met a whole lot of other shop owners, and it's been so fantastic. We trade so that we can cross-promote each other. So, for example, there's several really amazing t-shirt shops that I love on Instagram that make the cutest little girls' clothes, and boys also, but I'm kind of all focused on girls' clothes for my daughter. So I'll send them a hanger with either their daughter's name or son's name, or I've done a lot of ones with shop names so they can use it as branding, and they'll send me a shirt, and then we each take our items and photograph them together. So we're cross-promoting, and my followers see their items, and their followers see my items, and it kind of all works together.
That is such an excellent strategy. I love that idea of, you know, trading products, and then that trade in and of itself benefits, you know, both of you. But like you said, then it's cross promotion. So I'm actually looking at a photo right now that's it's got the Sage and Sky hanger on it on Instagram, and then one of their adorable t-shirts. So yeah, it looks fabulous.
Well, and that's another thing that I've kind of been really proud of myself for doing, figuring out other ways to use my skills in terms of hangers. I mean, just doing wedding dress hangers can get a little bit tedious, and there's definite seasons when it comes to weddings, so I would definitely have slow times. So I racked my brain and said, okay, what else can I do? What is another audience? So I came up with, hey, I can do brands. So I've done that for a lot of shops, and then all of a sudden I had all of these other small shops that wanted to purchase my items with their company name on it to use in their photos, which is also free advertising for me, which is great. And then I thought to myself, who else needs a hanger? Who else might have something ceremonious, quote unquote, to hang something? And I started doing hangers for doctors for their white coats. And I started getting tons of orders for medical school graduations. I actually just finished a huge order. A hospital ordered personalized hangers for every single one of their doctors for Doctor's Day. So it's kind of all about finding new niches and new audiences. And via Instagram, that kind of really it opened my eyes to different markets and made me think, hey, what else can I do with this to expand my products?
I love how you're thinking outside of the box. I saw that photo on Instagram with all of those hangers for the doctors. How long does it take you to make each hanger? That looks like a huge order.
It was a huge order. I kind of have it down to a science at this point. It doesn't take me super long, but definitely I need devoted time, which is tough with a little one running around. But I have a system. I do all the names first, and then I assemble them all, and then I have a nice packaging assembly line. So it's actually, I feel like I am faster when I have a large order because I kind of can do a whole bunch at once, which kind of streamlines the process instead of doing one at a time. Because by the time you make the name and then assemble and then package, it's almost easier and faster to do a lot.
So Beth, I've noticed that with Instagram, you're also doing quite a few giveaways where you'll partner with other shops and you'll create, you know, these beautiful collages with maybe even 10 different items from all of these different shops. Can you talk to us a little bit more about just the process of hosting a giveaway on Instagram? What are some best practices to make the most of an Instagram giveaway?
I think one of the most important things is to have a little bit of variety, but also be sort of cohesive in the sense that your followers would be interested in the other products and want to follow the other shops that are in the loop with you. So especially lately, I've been trying to focus more on children's items. So I've been doing loop giveaways with a lot of other kid-focused brands. So their audience will be interested in my things, fingers crossed anyway. So when it comes to hosting, I feel like it's just best to reach out to other shops that you have followed on Instagram or sort of know. Basically, the best way I've found is to send out a message to some shops that you're interested in working with and say, hey, I'm putting together a giveaway. Would you be interested? And for the most part, I've found that most shops are very receptive. And then, you know, either decide if you're all going to do an item. I really like one of the last giveaways that I did where it was the first birthday celebration. And so all of the items were within that theme. And so we created a really beautiful collage of all the items, and one winner received all of those items that were pictured there in the collage. So I think it encourages followers to enter when they can see what they're actually going to be getting. Not to say that the loop giveaways where you just see one graphic and say, hey, giveaway, aren't useful, because there's definitely a lot of people that still enter. But I think that when you have the collage and you can see exactly what you're going to be winning, it's a little more enticing. I've found that having too many shops is not a good thing. I was recently involved in one. I think there was 31 shops, and it was good. I mean, it was fine, but I think people get a little bit annoyed with having to go through and follow 31 shops. I think it might be best, but you know what? It's all about trial and error. So I think in the future, I might try and stick with smaller loops.
So Beth, for those of us who are newer to Instagram, which I know is Sarah and I, and I did recently figure out what a loop giveaway is, but I still would love to hear from more of an expert. Can you describe for all of our listeners, you know, what a loop giveaway is, how you set one up, and what's the process like for someone who's trying to enter that giveaway? What do they have to do?
So basically, from the shop standpoint, you get a group of shops and or bloggers together, and everybody has their own individual prize and a cohesive graphic, and everybody posts this graphic at the same exact time, which is very important, and you tag one shop. So before the loop is going to start, whoever the host is will send a tag list, and everybody will see this the shop below them and tag them. So basically what you're doing is creating a huge loop. So my follower will see the graphic, click like to like the photo, which is their entry, then tap on the photo, which will show them where to go next. So I'll have tagged another shop, so they'll go to the next shop, and then the process starts again. They'll see the graphic on that feed, then they tap it to like it, then they tap on the photo to see where the next shop is. And then when they get back to my graphic, they know they've completed the loop. There's some variations on that in terms of sometimes the person will just list all of the shops in the body of the text, so the person doesn't even have to like tap on the photo to go to new ones to follow the other shops. But basically, the loop giveaway is a tool to increase your followers and to get exposure for your products in front of new eyes. So you're teaming up with other shops so that their followers see your items and vice versa. That's basically what the loop is all about, because everybody loves to win something. So all of your followers ideally would go through and then view all of the other shops that you're participating with.
That makes a lot of sense. And I actually entered one of your loop giveaways earlier this week. And I have to say, compared to other giveaways I've tried to enter, you know, just in various formats on other forms of social media or even on websites, I found it super easy to do and also really fun. I mean, you really just are, you know, tapping with your finger on your phone, you go through next shop, follow, et cetera. And it was very fast. It was easy. And like you said, it does seem like it'd be such a great way to increase your followers on Instagram because, you know, everyone's going through all 10 shops or whatever the case is.
I'm so glad that you had fun. It is great. There is one thing I do want to mention for anybody who starts doing loop giveaways. Please, please, please expect that you will lose some followers after the giveaway ends. I remember after my first loop, I think after the winner was announced, there's a drop off. I would say 10 to 20% drop off. People will unfollow you. And after my first one, I was so sad. I was like, oh, they don't actually like me. But it's totally normal. But I have gained some great followers who are now loyal customers and supporters. And I myself have done some of the loops and discovered amazing shops that I would have never stumbled upon probably if I hadn't participated in a loop giveaway. So overall, I'm a big fan of the loop giveaways.
Do you think the giveaways are the main driver of all of your followers on Instagram?
I would say that's definitely a huge factor. The amazing thing is after the giveaways end, and you've gained some new followers and hopefully new customers, a lot of times they become loyal customers in the sense that even if they don't win, they will purchase your products and become interactive on your account. And then they will recommend you to other people tagging their friends on your posts. So it's kind of a snowball effect. I think the other main way I've gotten my followers is through collaborations, like we were speaking about before, in terms of I sent a hanger to Sage and Sky, and Sage and Sky posted a photo with my hanger and her shirts, and then some of her followers decided to follow me. So it's kind of a combination of those things, but definitely the loop giveaways and other kinds of giveaways are huge drivers of followers on Instagram.
I'm curious, and I'm sure it varies from giveaway to giveaway, but about how many followers do you tend to gain with a loop giveaway?
I would say the average is probably around 200, sometimes more, sometimes less. When you see those huge cash loop giveaways, which I actually prefer not to participate in, basically what that is, for anybody who doesn't know, if you've seen any of the giveaways where they're offering, say, $800 of PayPal cash or a $600 Target gift card where all the shops and bloggers pitch in money to create a prize, those can, I mean, you can get 1,000 to 3,000 followers on those. However, the reason that I don't really like to participate in those, I've done one or two because might as well try everything and see what works for you, is because afterwards you really, there's a huge unfollow. So basically, I would say more like 50 to 70% of the people unfollow you as opposed to maybe 10 to 20% on the other loop giveaways. I don't know what it is about those. I guess it's just because there's so many people that follow for those giveaways and they're really not actually interested in any shops. The other loop giveaways, when you give away a prize to your shop, or I prefer to do shop credit since all of my items are customized. That way the person can go into my shop and then get exactly what they want. A lot of times they end up buying way more, or they buy my product and then they love it and they're return customers. With the cash loop giveaways, the person wins and it has no relation to your shop whatsoever. So for me, that wasn't – I mean, if I wanted to do those, I could probably do one a week and have 50,000 followers, but I don't think that they would be quality followers in the terms – of them actually being interested in my brand and wanting to interact with my brand and that sort of thing. So for me, I prefer the smaller loop giveaways with other shops that are creating handmade products as well.
That makes a lot of sense. Now, Beth, I am 100% a newbie when it comes to Instagram. So pretend, well, I am a shop owner, but okay, so I'm a brand person here on Instagram, and I'm a shop owner. Talk me through what else I need to know about Instagram, like best practices, way to make it work for my shop or for my blog, any other little tips that you know since you're seasoned on Instagram.
Well, first of all, I am so not seasoned. I am still learning. I mean, I am kind of doing a whole trial and error thing and have been lucky enough to meet up with some other shops who have been really supportive and great to bounce ideas off of and get advice from, which is another thing that as a shop owner I would definitely recommend. Reach out to some other shops and kind of become Insta friends, quote unquote, because it's great to have that kind of community and have people to ask questions and bounce ideas off of. That's been so, so useful for me. I would definitely say that picture quality is important. I don't post just everything. And don't be afraid to delete photos from your feed if you don't think that it contributes anything after. I mean, if you post something and then a little while later you think, oh, that doesn't really fit in anymore. Because actually, I just went through and did a mass deletion from stuff that I did a long time ago. Because you kind of want your whole feed to be cohesive. It doesn't have to be all the same thing all the time. It's actually really nice to mix it up. But think about a new potential follower looking at your homepage of your Instagram feed. They'll see your bio, and then they'll see, you know, depending on how far they scroll down, your photos all laid out. So you kind of want that to be appealing and attractive, and for them to also kind of have a sense of what you do so that they can decide whether or not they want to follow you. It's very important to edit your photos. I am not a professional photographer by any stretch of the imagination, and I am kind of teaching myself about photo editing, and I am not very good at it, but I am trying. And it's amazing just what brightening something up a little bit will do, playing around with some filters and shadows and that sort of thing. For products, I would definitely recommend using a white background for a lot of stuff, just so that you can easily delete backgrounds and create collages and that sort of thing. I'm not saying that everybody has to just post all of their photos on white backgrounds, because that would be boring. But it is useful, especially if you're going to do collaborations with other shops, to have an arsenal of your photos on white background that are easy to Photoshop into collages or use other apps. Another major thing on Instagram is to engage your followers. I have found it so useful to ask questions and genuinely have dialogue with my followers. I feel it makes for a lot more fun experience. And once people see you as a human and a mom, they're a lot more interested in sticking around and seeing what you have to say and seeing your products. I make a conscious effort to respond to almost every comment on my Instagram posts, which sometimes I don't get all of them, but I do definitely try. And even if it's, you know, an emoticon as a response, I feel like it makes people really feel like you're a person and you're there, not just some nameless company. And I feel like it really ups the engagement. And then it makes people want to buy from you, in my experience anyway.
I think that's great advice. I think it's funny that social media has social right in the in the name of it, but I think a lot of businesses forget that. So I know Sarah and I definitely agree with, you know, being friendly and chatting with your followers and things like that for sure. And I have noticed too, it does seem like on Instagram that idea of asking questions, or like I'm looking at one of your posts that's you're tagged in a game called Monday's Cup. So then and then there's a question that goes with it. Yeah, it seems like a really fun place to learn more about people.
Exactly. Well, and it has to be fun or else nobody will want to do it.
That's true.
And also, I also make an effort to go through and comment on other people's photos. Honestly and genuinely, not like forced, oh, I should say something about this. But if I see something beautiful, I compliment it. If I see something interesting, I say, I ask a question, and then a lot of times other people who are commenting on that same post will end up following you because they then click on your shop and then see what you do. So it's kind of a giant spider web, and everybody's connected that way. So the more that you insert yourself in, the more benefit you see from it.
Definitely. I have another question on Instagram. I know now you're probably very connected to so many different bloggers and shop owners, but early on, and maybe now as well, did you use the search feature to discover those other handmade shops or other blogs? Or like, how did you actually find those people to follow?
I actually would search different hashtags of things that interested me. And then I did participate in a lot of loops and found a lot loop giveaways and found some really interesting shops that way. And it's kind of been a totally organic type of thing where I see something that I like, I'll click on their feed and I'll follow if I'm interested. And then a lot of times that will lead me to other people that they're following. So, I mean, in the beginning, I followed my friends and some of the people that they were following, and that's kind of how I stumbled across a lot of things. Actually, one of the shops that I first discovered on there was because one of the shop owners was a customer of mine, and she posted something on her Instagram. Her shop is called Mama Said Tees, and so then I discovered her on Instagram. So it was kind of crazy. Like, oh, here's my customer, and she's got her own shop, which I had no idea about. And then we've become kind of good Instagram friends, and we've collaborated, and she does some amazing stuff. She and her partner do some amazing stuff with their t-shirts. And I've kind of been inspired by one of my customers. So that was kind of a cool thing.
That is really cool.
So Beth, I know recently you've also branched out to have a shop on Store Envy, and I'm really curious to hear about that and how that's going for you.
Well, I love Etsy. I have a sort of love-hate relationship with Etsy, actually, but Etsy is fantastic in terms of wedding traffic, of course, but recently I decided to kind of branch out and focus on some children's products. So I'm doing bracelets, well, actually children and adult, but I'm doing some bracelets and some little toddler fanny packs, and I kind of wanted a little bit of a separation, so I decided to open up a shop at Store Envy where I could push all of my traffic from Instagram. So it's sort of an experiment on my part to see how much traffic I'm actually generating on my own as opposed to just via Etsy search and Etsy wedding traffic. And I like Store Envy. It's low risk in terms of it's also a marketplace like Etsy, but they don't take any fees unless somebody finds you through their marketplace. And in that case, they take a 10% fee. But all of the traffic that I generate on my own via Instagram, or if I send somebody there just via email, then it's no fees aside from payment processing fees from PayPal. But it's really easy to set up, and I just put some of my products on there to kind of see how it does in terms of a standalone shop without having the giant Etsy search marketplace.
How long have you been on Store Envy?
I opened my shop less than a month ago, I believe. Yes, okay. Less than a month ago.
And I'm curious, if you don't mind sharing numbers, have you had sales on your Store Envy shop, and have you, what level of traffic have you had there?
I've definitely had sales. Actually, I'm really happy with how it's worked out so far. It's nice to actually see the conversion from Instagram to my Store Envy shop. That's another thing actually that I should have mentioned about Instagram. The flash sale aspect has been fantastic in terms of, hey, I post a graphic and say flash sale coupon code or flash sale, leave your email address here to claim. So you can directly generate sales right there on Instagram or directly push them to, say, Etsy or Store Envy. But I like pushing people to Store Envy because then I don't have to pay any fees. and I've been really happy so far with how it's been going.
Okay, I'm going to ask what may be such a stupid question that we're going to have to take this out of the final episode. Okay, so you're talking about pushing traffic to Store Envy from Instagram. And I'm on your Instagram account, and I'm, you know, pulling up your adorable cuff bracelets. I think they are so cute. But
I have it pointing to my Etsy shop right now because I'm doing a flash sale on hangers.
it's a bad
example. Sorry. It'll be back tomorrow to my Store Envy link.
Okay, so normally at the top,
yes,
it says under where the Etsy link is now.
Right.
That's where you have your Store Envy link.
Exactly. Sorry. It's just for today. Well, today it's for 24 hours. I'm doing this flash sale thing with my Etsy shop. So.
Okay. I shouldn't be seeing anything in each Instagram listing. Is there a way, like, if I'm clicked on a picture?
No.
Did it take?
No,
okay.
It's just so annoying, but yeah, no, you can't do it that way.
Okay, it's just from the
profile
top
link. Yeah,
got it. Now, okay, so I'm not completely.
No, it's me. I totally messed it up with that one.
Less than a month and 8 sales. I mean, that's, you're certainly getting traffic already, so that's exciting.
Yeah, and I've actually gotten more sales in terms of, I've said, hey, I only have 3 of these bracelets right now. Leave your PayPal email to claim via Instagram, and have sold out.
Oh, and so how does that work?
So another strategy on Instagram is to post a photo of something and offer it for sale. And you can say first PayPal email will claim, and people can leave their PayPal email, and then you can invoice them. So, for example, a couple weeks ago, I did a set of Mommy and Me turquoise leather bracelets, and I had a very limited amount of the turquoise leather. So I posted a photo, I think it was on Valentine's Day, actually, and I did a one-day special flash sale. I had 3 sets available, and I said, first 3 PayPal emails below will win. So I sold out, which was really cool. I had people DM me, direct message, I should say, and people leave their PayPal email addresses underneath the post, and then I sent them an invoice, and that was it.
So do you send the invoice, like, through PayPal or just through email, or?
I like to use PayPal email invoicing, because then I can just print the shipping labels that way also. It makes it easier for me.
I had no idea you could do all of that through PayPal, like send an invoice and print a shipping label. I had no idea.
Wait, you haven't been using PayPal invoices and shipping?
I mean...
Sorry, that sounded really rude and snarky. Edit that out.
I mean, no. We use PayPal, but I only use PayPal to receive orders from Etsy.
I love PayPal invoicing. It's great. And then they pay via PayPal, obviously, or via credit card if they want to. And then their info is all already in your PayPal account. And it's so easy to use the multi-order shipping, the batch shipping on PayPal, or to do individual shipping labels.
Wow. I'm totally out of it, I guess. I had no idea.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing that people just, like, because I'm looking at that giveaway you did, and people just comment with their, like you said, their PayPal email, and there you go, bam, charged, done.
Yeah, I did one the other day. I made this cute little piggy bracelet, and after I made it, I realized there was a little defect in the leather, which was really disappointing, but I threw a picture up, and I said, hey, sale on this, there's a little nick in the leather, and I gave, you know, a half price discount, and within 10 minutes I had 2 people who wanted it.
Wow.
That's cool. Does anybody get nervous about leaving their PayPal address in the comments?
People who do just send it via direct message. Most people who do shopping via Instagram just leave their email addresses, and nobody's ever really said anything. But I have had people who've commented, I'm going to direct message you my email, and have done it that way.
Okay, so there is a way for them to leave an email address privately.
Yes.
Okay, cool. Well, Beth, we have certainly learned a lot today. And as we wrap up, do you have a cute mom moment that you could share with us?
Well, let's see. I am a first-time mom, and my daughter is about 20 months, so I think everything is a cute, adorable mom moment. But most recently, now that she's talking and way more mobile, she likes to photobomb all of my pictures. And I just took a picture the other day of this little bracelet with donuts on it because she had had her first donut and loved it so much, I decided I needed to make a donut bracelet. So I was holding it against the white background and trying to snap a quick photo, and she's got her fingers in there and she was yelling doughy, which is how she says donut, and I just thought it was the cutest thing. So I posted it on Instagram with her hand in the photo because I didn't care, and I thought it was cute.
That is cute. I see it. That's really cute. That is an adorable age.
Yeah, it's really fun.
Well, thank you again so much, Beth, for chatting with us all about Instagram and how you've marketed and grown your shop by using it. And where is the best place for everyone to find you?
Definitely on Instagram. I'm at Handcrafted Affairs. And then on Etsy, I'm handcraftedaffairs.etsy.com. And at Store Envy, I'm handcraftedaffairs.storeenvy.com.
Well, thank you so much. This was fun.
Thank you, guys.
I just loved hearing about all of the clever ways that Beth is using Instagram to drive sales. She clearly has a great strategy for growing her business and a knack for thinking outside of the box. I know I walked away from this episode with a lot of great takeaways, and I hope you did too. If you're looking for the show notes, just head on over to brilliantbusinessmoms.com/79. I hope you're having a fantastic day. Now it's your turn to head out there and be brilliant.